welcome back to the DBM Academy podcast. As we head into 2026, the game has officially changed. If you thought the money printer was turned off, you haven't been paying attention to the Federal Reserve's latest filings. Sarah, walk us through the latest.
Yes, we've seen quite a shift in recent weeks, John. Everyone was distracted by the holidays and various news items, the usual bread and circus. But behind the scenes, the Fed effectively pivoted in December. Officially, they halted quantitative tightening on December 1st, 2025. That means they stopped letting treasuries roll off their balance sheet.
So no more shrinking the money supply?
Exactly. But it gets better for hard asset owners. They didn't just stop shrinking, they started buying again. The New York Fed quietly announced reserve management purchases, aka QE, buying $40 billion in T-bills a month. They aren't calling it QE, quantitative easing, because that sounds inflationary, but let's be real. They're printing money to buy government debt. The balance sheet is expanding again.
Reserve management. I love the corporate speak. Okay, so liquidity's back, but the big buzzword right now is SLR. Can you break that down? Because I keep seeing people say this is rocket fuel for gold and Bitcoin, but I don't think people actually know what it means.
Right. The supplementary leverage ratio, or SLR. Think of it like a backpack rule for big banks.
The rule. The Fed tells banks, for every dollar of assets you hold, whether it's a risky loan or a safe U.S. Treasury bond, you need to hold a certain amount of capital in your backpack to back it up.
The problem? Banks were running out of room in their backpacks. The U.S. government kept issuing so much debt, treasuries, that banks literally couldn't buy any more without raising expensive capital. The treasury market was freezing up.
So what did they change?
In late 2025, regulators finalized a tweak to the enhanced SLR. Instead of a fixed buffer, they recalibrated it based on the bank's surcharge. In plain English, they made the backpack bigger. They reduced the penalty for holding low-risk assets like U.S. Treasuries.
Okay, so banks can now buy more U.S. debt. How does that help gold and Bitcoin?
Well, as ever, it's all about liquidity spillover.
First, gold moves. By freeing up balance sheet space, banks can now intermediate more easily in the precious metals market and hold more high-quality collateral. It removes the clog in the plumbing. If banks aren't forced to sell safe assets to meet ratio requirements, gold prices stabilize and rise as a pristine collateral. The old guard moves first.
Next comes Bitcoin. This is the big one most in the DBM community know well. When banks buy treasuries, they're injecting cash into the hands of the sellers, hedge funds, pensions, corporations. That cash has to go somewhere. In a risk-on environment, that slosh finds its way into the fastest horse. In 2026, that is Bitcoin.
So the SLR change essentially greases the wheels for the banks to absorb government debt more quickly, which pushes cash out into the rest of the economy.
Precisely. And that brings us to the political side of what we can expect in 2026. The government needs this balance sheet expansion because they're preparing for the midterms.
Oh yeah, the tariff dividends. I saw the reports that the administration is floating $2,000 checks to American families starting mid-2026, funded by the new tariffs.
Funded by tariffs is the marketing pitch. In reality, it's funded by the deficit. But think about the timing. You have the Fed expanding its balance sheet to buy T-bills and the federal government sending direct checks to voters right before the November 2026 midterms.
It's 2020 all over again, but with higher stakes. So let's talk price. We have the Fed printing, banks uncapped by SLR, and literal stimmy checks hitting accounts in Q2/Q3 2026. What does this do to Bitcoin?
The macro setup is perfect for a devaluing dollar. When the supply of dollars goes up, checks and Fed buying, the value of scarce assets goes up dramatically. We know the long-term effects of this are detrimental to those who mine fiat currency with wages, but to those who own sound money, this is rocket fuel to your balance sheet.
I'm looking at the charts, and if we layer these stimulus checks on top of the spot ETF flows we're seeing, 2026 isn't going to be a bear market year like the four-year cycle theorists thought.
I agree. Usually, 2026 would be a crypto winter year post-2025 peak, but governments don't let recessions happen during election years anymore. They print society into a false sense of prosperity.
So, what's the prediction?
Well, with the SLR adjustment allowing banks to flow liquidity and the $2,000 checks hitting retail accounts, I think we see a liquidity supercycle.
Short term, Bitcoin looks boring, grinding up as the Fed's $40 billion per month buying soaks up supply.
Mid-2026, when those checks hit, retail FOMO returns. We could easily see Bitcoin blow past $150,000 and push toward $180,000 to $200,000 by year end.
A 200K Bitcoin, or more precisely, the reflection of more fiat debasement purely because the government wants to win the midterms. The masses flock to short-term perceived prosperity as the stock markets pump, while the sound money asset holders understand this is temporary, as the real result is higher costs of living over time. We have seen this play out again and again since 2008.
Exactly. Don't fight the Fed, and definitely don't fight politicians buying votes. Instead, place yourself as close as you can into the center of the actual money supply to realize true equity-driven wealth in real terms.
There you have it. The printer is on, the backpack is open, and the checks are in the mail. Thanks for joining us, folks. As ever, if you want to not only act on this realization, but also get the level of education and support required to manage this phenomenon into the long term, book your seat on the DBM Wealth Builder series. See the show notes and see you next time.